Tonight, we'll talk to the president of the Hawthorne Strategy Group, Cynthia McCaffrey, about an interesting event she's organized. Then later, Hannah Stanley has your coverage of International Happiness Day. And finally, former state senator Dan Katowski rides sidecar. All that more right now on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez.
Happy St. Patrick's Day! It's a fun day to just say that. It's not a holiday. It's just a celebration. Esmeralda and I hung out a little bit at Vaughn's Pub over there on Northwest Highway.
Yeah, had some corned beef.
Yes.
Cabbage.
You had to. There was some Irish dancing right before our very eyes. She's sort of it was a little bit spontaneous. Would you say spontaneous
dancing? She's like a tornado, a dancing tornado.
Yeah, I thought that she was a waitress that just wanted, like, heard music and had some sort of, like, a bass instinct to all of a sudden start dancing.
She had the music in her.
Yeah, she was intense. She was excellent. And I also ended up, by the way, you and I hung out for a little bit at Vaughn's on Northwest Highway, but I still needed to get dinner for my family. And I had planned on making like a whole big Irish breakfast. And I ended up deciding, you know what, I'm going to hang out with Esmeralda and then just go buy dinner from the Gale Street Inn. And can I tell you, best Irish dinner I have ever had. Mm. We had shepherd's pie.
Yeah.
Corned beef and cabbage with red potatoes. Mm-hmm. I had blackened salmon. Mm. And we had bread pudding with this wonderful caramel sauce on it. Next time, Esmeralda, we'll go there too.
That's nice.
We'll start at Vaughn's. We'll have some cheese curds.
Yes.
And then we will go over to Gale Street.
Mm-hmm.
It was wonderful. But I'm the daughter of a first generation Irish, which makes me second generation Irish on my dad's side. My grandmother, Dorothy, lived on the south side of Chicago until her family moved to the north side. My great-grandmother, Maggie O'Doyle, came to the United States to find a better life. And it's kind of fun to just have everyone be Irish. Do you like this holiday, Esmeralda, where everyone's like, you're Irish today?
It depends. I'm not big into the big, the south side parade that was crazy. I'm not too big into that.
But, I've never been to that one.
But like at Vaughn's. Mm-hmm. It was very
eclectic.
It was nice.
Yeah,
it was everyone was having a nice time, but no one was going crazy.
It didn't feel intense that you weren't Irish.
Exactly. It was nice. It was very inclusive.
Exactly. As it should be. And that's the thing about everyone being Irish today. It's very inclusive. Does anybody have sort of a, I think because it feels like it lasted a whole week, because it all started on Friday. People have been doing St. Patrick's Day since last week. I think today was not anticlimactic. But I'm sorry, Elliot Serrano is in studio with a friend of his, Elliot, and they're trying to help me out with my headphones. There it is. I've been looking for. I don't have my own things about me, Craig. That's
where'd your things go, Patty?
My things. You've been waiting to do that all
day. Oh, I have so long. And you gave me a clip to use, and then the clip they all did it, and then I wanted to do it.
You wanted to do it, and I want my things about me is a line from The Quiet Man, which is actually the clip we're gonna play when we come back. I think we should just play it. It's one of my. Oh, can we not play it?
Well, we have some computer issues, but I think we're gonna be able to play.
I refuse to accept that as an answer.
All right, no wait, maybe we will. Yes, Engineer Adam is saying yes.
Oh, okay then. If he says, then it must be so. By the way, why are there weird chairs in my studio? What's going on in here?
Adam just explained it to me, and this is exactly what he said. We got new chairs. So that is the answer to your question. We got new chairs.
These are like space tech
yeah,
and everything.
That seems awesome.
This is new too.
So the captain's chairs?
No. Those are old. There's guest chairs. I'm going to take one of those guest chairs for the show.
Elliot, have a seat in that chair, will you please, and let me know. You can come on.
They're fancy.
Well, apparently, I did hear Anna DeVlantes talking about how she felt like, maybe it was Wendy Snyder was talking about how she felt like Goldilocks. Like, this one's too soft, and this one's too hard, and this one's, oh, that sounds wrong. Elliot, is your chair, what are your thoughts on the new chairs in studio?
I want to, right now I feel like we need to go to impulse power.
Oh, this is nice.
Fire all phasers. Oh. Proton torpedoes.
This one's too hard.
Yeah.
This one, I need to find one. It's too stiff because it's like I have no give.
That's the Captain Kirk chair.
I'm just used to like being able to like a little bit of bounce.
No. Right. The one I'm in, the Uhura chair.
Uhura. It's a blue chair. It looks like it rocks back.
It does. It rocks all the way back.
By the way, for people who listen to the station all day long, this is the conversation they've heard happen over and over and over again. So why should I do anything differently? Do you have a St. Patrick's Day movie that you watch, Elliot? Are you a St. Patrick's Day celebrator?
Yes.
Yes? What do you watch?
The Fugitive. You got to watch The Fugitive because that's when Harrison Ford escapes from Tommy Lee Jones walking through the St. Paddy's Day Parade. And they ask the question, the eternal question, that if they can make the Chicago River green one day, why can't they make it blue the other 364?
That's a very good question. I think that's a good point to make. But then you have to keep dyeing it, and it doesn't last that long.
Well,
maybe keeping it clean, but it wouldn't be blue. Blue waters only happen when the sand is white, and it's a reflection of the sky, isn't it?
Well, really? What you said before was it's got to be clean.
It's got to be clean.
The water's got to be clean.
Yes.
When it's just carrying all the sewage from the city.
Yeah, it's not, I don't want to know what's in there, but they're going to make it an athletic area. The mayor wants to make it someplace we can go kayaking and stuff.
I see people kayaking in there. I don't know if I'd want to kayak in there.
Just don't fall in.
Don't fall. Whatever you That's do, all. Don't tip over.
Don't touch the water.
Yes,
don't.
Craig. Oh, yeah. I can't.
Now, I was actually also thinking that you just don't want to be inside the water.
No. Yeah. No.
But that seems like you're risking a lot. Kayaking. Has anyone ever fallen over while kayaking before?
All the time.
Yeah.
It's actually kind of the fun part of kayaking, isn't it?
I think it's the best part.
Close your nostrils, your mouth, your eyes.
You're going to take some water.
It's so hard to kayak in a hazmat suit.
It is not impossible, though.
It's confining. You don't get a very big range of motion with your limbs.
But it's a great flotation device if you fall in the water.
And it's an attention getter, to be honest.
Really,
I mean,
is.
Right outside.
That's what we should do. We should get, I guess that's not a very good postcard for Chicago. If you see people, you have tourists on the bridge and you see two people kayaking and they're wearing hazmat suits.
Kayak on the beautiful Chicago River in a hazmat suit.
Yeah, that's not good. Yeah. I'm sure it's fine. It's not drinkable, but it is.
Do you need a kayak rental, a hazmat rental? What are you looking for today?
That's so wrong.
Although by my house, the park, there's one of those landings for the kayaks, and there's a sign that says, don't touch the water, don't stick your hands in it, don't drink it, don't. It's like, okay.
And then you kind of like, all I want to do now, I wasn't going to drink it, but once you told me I couldn't touch it, now I've got to.
No.
And I see people fishing in them. I'm like, I hope you guys aren't eating those.
It doesn't work like that when they warn you about, like the expiration date on milk. I'm never tempted to go past that day.
Oh, don't be a baby.
I'm never tempted to go past that day.
Yeah, why take a chance?
Yeah, it gets poured out.
You know that sell-by, right?
Sell-by.
Some of them say best-by.
Best, yes. Intended for consumption, yes. I tried that
my
today.
My nose does not tell the truth all the time.
We tried to. I tried today with some cheese. It had not changed color, and the packaging did say Best Buy, mm-hmm. the March 28th.
Throw it out.
Of this year. Today's the 17th.
Oh, no, you're right. Okay, March. Okay,
it was not good.
Oh.
There was a moment
was
where
it
was,
in good packaging?
It was ziplocked. Right. I mean, it had already been opened, and then I ziplocked it. So
with food, you
wait,
take no chance.
Elliot, what? Are you worried for my safety?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm fine. It's been several hours since I consumed that bite. Well, there comes that moment where you go, do I spit or do I swallow? More after this on 720 WGN.
Tell me the way to Innisfree.
Innisfree, 5 miles and maybe a half more. Do you see that road over there?
Yeah.
Well, don't take that one. It'll do you no good. No, the best road to Innisfree, and many's that to walk.
It's Innisfree you want. Be saving your breath, Mr. Maloney. Let me direct the gentleman. Happen you know the way to Knockanore?
Knockanore. If he knew the way to Knockanore, would he be asking the way to Innisfree and it just beyond?
There's many knows Knockanore that doesn't know Innisfree. And if you'd take the time to study your country's history, Mr. Maloney, you'd be the first to admit it.
Don't be sent another poor man to Knockanore. So the fishing is finished there entirely. Now tell me this, Yank. What is it you're after? Is it trout or salmon?
All I want is to get to Innisfree.
Now you're talking sense. The best fishing in the country.
Too far you there, Mr. Costello.
Trout as long as your arm. And salmon. The last one I got, I was expecting Jonah to pop out of his mouth.
That's a fact.
Innisfree, I'd be bringing you there myself. Only I've got to drive the train.
That is John Ford's movie, The Quiet Man, starring John Wayne and Maureen O'Hara. And it's one of my favorites. I actually realized as we started watching the movie tonight, Griffin has never seen it before. And he's very interested, actually, watching classic movies, because when we were in Disney World, we went on the Great Movie Tour. And we have in studio with us a gentleman who works at Disney World. Is it what it's called, the Great Movie Tour?
It's the Great Movie Ride, correct?
Ride, yes. And we had a lovely, I have to find, that was actually, I told you earlier that I started taking selfies after I had just a couple of instances that I was disappointed, but then I started focusing on how wonderful so many of the cast members were. Well, our tour guide on the Great Movie Ride, the first part, we kind of turn the corner and it's the Mary Poppins, and he goes, come on everybody, sing with me. And I started singing Chim Chimney, Chim Chimney, Chim Chim, and he looked over and he goes, you're the third person in 2 years to ever do that. So we started getting really into it, and I found the more I was into it, and so many of the cast members were like surprised. How are there not more people getting excited, Elliot, when they go down there?
I think people are stressed out on vacation.
They are. They are. And what do you do for Disney World?
I'm a DJ at Walt Disney World, so I do all of the parties in the park and mm-hmm. special events and weddings, and anytime they need a DJ, that's where I'm at.
And have you seen The Quiet Man, by the way? Is that a movie you've seen?
I have not, actually. I'm going to have to watch that.
That's the opening moments in the movie. Does that make you want to see the movie?
Not at all.
Why? What? What is that? Why not? That doesn't sound charming to you? The cute sort
sure.
of the directions. You see that road over there? Well, don't take it.
Makes me
sorry,
not
Craig.
Take the road. Yes.
That road will do you no good. Don't take that one.
Don't take,
take another.
How can that not be? 312-981-7200. I don't know what question I want to ask here about The Quiet Man, but how does that not? Maybe because I've seen it so many times.
How's it not
draw you in and go, oh, I would love to see that movie?
Yeah, I want to see that movie.
Were their accents annoying to you, Elliot?
No, I just.
You don't like old movies?
No, not true. I love old movies.
What kind of old movies do you prefer?
My favorite old movie would be Casablanca.
Okay, see, there we go. All right.
Then. Two lovers meet for the last time. Humphrey Bogart and Ingrid Bergman in the classic Casablanca.
1942, I want to say, maybe.
I'm sure there's someone out there with an internet connection.
312-981-7200. What year did Casablanca come out?
Yes, well, it wasn't 1942. Wait, okay, so.
1943.
There you go.
There it is. I think, sorry, everybody out there, Craig already answered for you. Yes, I left.
Well, the radio audience might be a tad confused that you introduced me earlier, and then you introduced another Elliot.
This is Elliot. Yeah, but he only has one T. You know why?
Because he doesn't stutter. Yeah. Elliot Hansen works for Disney, and he's in town for C2E2, the Chicago Comic and Entertainment Expo, where I'll be this weekend.
That's correct. We'll be providing entertainment on the main stage and in the lobby.
So does Disney loan you out, or is that produced by Disney?
We were originally produced by Disney when we did Star Wars Celebration, and then we branched out with the folks at Reed Pop, and we've been traveling with them to New York Comic Con and Chicago Comic Con.
And what is the big production you're doing tomorrow? What's the theme of it?
Our whole goal is that when people walk into the main stage room, instead of sitting in a room that's completely silent, to kind of have a party and get people excited and fired up to see our guest speakers.
Excellent. And you were mentioning one of the guest speakers that we'll be seeing tomorrow.
Yeah, tomorrow's John Cusack. So I want to hold a boombox above my head and bring him out. And,
one of Chicago's very own.
And seven people will get that joke.
No, I think that more than seven people, at least nine, will get that joke. At the very least. And Elliot, what is your role this weekend?
I'm going to be hosting the Adventure Time panel with the voice of Finn. I always get his first name wrong. Jeffrey Shadeh. How do I pronounce his last name?
I know, but
you better figure this out.
Okay, but anyway, yeah, the Adventure Time panel Saturday at 5:30. I don't know if it's on main stage. That's how I actually met Elliot at C2E2, because I did the Stan Lee panel a couple
that's
years
right, yeah.
ago. That's when Elliot and I first met, and I was nervous as heck.
Yeah.
And him and
well, sure, Stan
Ruben.
Lee. How do
Ruben,
you...
Ruben
Irvin.
Irvin, who does a lot of the warm-up. He's a stand-up who does the warm-up for them and also works on the Steve Harvey Show here in Chicago. But they really get – if you go to the show and these guys are out there, and they will get you worked up. And I remember they were a lot of fun. You guys are a lot of fun to work with. So,
oh, thank you.
You know what's really I'm excited about C2E2. I know that Craig is going tomorrow. Are you going over the weekend as well? I'm taking the boys.
Yeah.
I'm taking the boys.
Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
You're going every day.
I'm trying to.
We didn't get costumes. I feel bad about
that.
No,
we didn't.
I know. I have my Batgirl costume at home. I have my own. I also have Wonder Woman and Princess Leia.
I still have my Chewbacca onesie that you got me. I mean, I was startlingly popular. Yeah, I was startlingly.
Are you gonna wear that?
I'm thinking about it because I wore it to a Halloween event, and it's amazing how many women hit on you when you look like Fozzie Bear. So
that's great. Oh, waka waka waka.
But I had the little bandolier across the front, the little strap, so I look like Chewbacca. You take that off, and I put a little fedora on, then I look like
a little
Fuzzy
bow tie.
Bear.
Doesn't he wear a bow tie too?
Bow tie too. Yeah. Yeah.
Esmeralda, if you're doing cosplay, who are you dressing up as?
I would. I actually once I wasn't intended to be cosplay, but I went as Robin.
Oh, that's fun.
And it was cute because I was like old-timey Robin.
Right.
Like Adam West Robin.
I like it.
But then I wore like a little skirt. And
you mean Burt Ward Robin?
Little...
I know.
Yes.
She means his Adam West.
Mainly the colors because I was wearing a skirt, and but I had a little cape.
Very nice.
So it was the colors but not the costume. That's called bounding.
Oh.
Well, then I was bounding.
wait.
Which sounds a little all right.
All right, then. Bounding is sort of like an essence of.
Yeah, well, it's, I wasn't wearing like the little, because doesn't he wear like little shorts or something?
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, I wasn't wearing
like a little
shorts.
Little green
unitard.
Tighties.
I and, feminized it a little bit.
And Rob, what would you wear if you were to do a little cosplay and or bounding?
I like Batman.
All right.
Yeah,
I like
the gadgets.
Robin.
I like the costume. Yeah.
Now, are you a Christian Bale Batman, an Adam West Batman, Michael
Christian
Keaton?
Bale. Christian
okay, Christian Bale.
Bale. Yeah. Right. Yeah, he's nice. Rough.
Yeah, a little bit. And you can do that voice without even having to sort of modulate.
Batman.
Oh, hello. Yeah.
Right. No mess.
I'll be your cat girl. We'll do this. Cat girl?
Cat
Why
woman.
Am I cat girl?
Cat woman.
Can I just be cat girl? How would that
work? Yeah, Batman doesn't want to get thrown in jail.
You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. On Monday, March 21st, there is an event happening that I want to tell you about. And actually, someone who could tell you more about it is Cynthia McCaffrey, who's on the line with me now. Hey, Cynthia, how are you doing?
Great. How are you today?
Very good. And you are the president of Hawthorne Strategy Group. Can you tell us a little bit about the group that you are the president of?
Sure. We are a strategic communications firm based in Chicago, work with clients all over the world, and are thrilled that we have a great group of people who are willing to come and talk about being a woman and a leader next Monday.
Yeah, this is an interesting time right now because I've been, you know, in the last couple of years, there have been a lot of conversations, just even like what it's like to be, whether it's as a leader. You know, we had the Lean In conversation with, is it Cheryl, what's her name, Cheryl Landis? No, I can't remember her name. The Lean In.
Sandberg. Right?
Right. She was saying, you know, she was talking about what it takes to be a female leader. But I think every woman who sort of gets in a position has a different way of having a position of power or leadership, has a different story of how she got there. So is that a little bit about what the conversation will be on Monday at the at three? Now, this is going to be at 332 South Michigan Avenue, and I'm guessing it's open to the public.
Yes, it is open to the public. You can register, go to our website, hawthornstrategy.com, and get all the information on where and when. It's Monday night at 5:00. But you're absolutely right. We do want to talk about the journey that it takes to become a woman leader. And also, quite frankly, delve into some of the different issues that are facing that. You know, right now we very well may have a female presidential candidate. Who knows? We'll see what happens. But, you know, there's a lot of different things that are happening out there with women in leadership. And I think it's an important conversation and discussion to have.
Right. Because, as I mentioned, there are conversations we've been having, whether it's talking about catcalling or mansplaining or, you know, and these are the things that, you know, what I try to tell both men and women when we have those conversations. I'm not accusing you of something. I'm telling you the story of what's happened to me. Do you find that sometimes when you talk about it, you know, people get defensive, like, well, I'm not the one doing that. No one's accusing you of anything. There's sort of this defensiveness in these moments sometimes, aren't there?
Yeah, I completely agree and have found the same thing myself. And I think one of the things that we want to explore and discuss on Monday is, you know, the different strengths that men and women bring to leadership and different skills that come across. There's lots of information out there that says in some cases women may be better equipped to be leaders. They might be better at leading teams. But then there's also data that says, well, are they holding themselves back because maybe they negotiate in a different way? So we want to kind of explore that and, you know, ask the question, do we think women are inherently you know, more equipped to lead or less, or is it really just about the individual and how you approach it as yourself? Because, you know, in my opinion, I think it's more about finding the right skill set for yourself and capitalizing on the strengths that you have as a leader.
Well, it's also a matter of situational acceptance because you can have all the skills and then be thrown into an environment where there isn't that positive reinforcement or even, you know, wanting to encourage a woman to move on. I mean, we've talked about this even in radio. There's a study about voice fry where the sound of a woman's voice is more annoying or less tolerable to a lot of listeners. And is that something that we have to, you know, you can't tell somebody, hey, well, you have to like a woman's voice. There's certain things that whether it's because of how they grew up or what their expectations are from a woman that you also encounter in different environments.
Exactly. And, you know, and the women that we have on the panel have succeeded in a variety of industries. For example, Pam McDonough has, as a leader in the manufacturing area, one of, you know, an area that I think people would historically say is a male-dominated arena, or Lori Healy, who led the NATO work here in Chicago. We've got a great group of people who I think can share their experiences, what they've learned, what has worked for them, and quite frankly, hopefully share some of the challenges that they faced as well, because it's not easy to get to the point, the place of leadership that these women have reached.
Again, we are talking to Cynthia McCafferty. She's a president of Hawthorne Strategy Group, and they're hosting an event, The View from the Other Side of the Glass Ceiling, a conversation on leadership. That's going to be Monday, the 21st, from 5 to 7 at 332 South Michigan on the 9th floor. And they're inviting you to join them for some wine, light refreshments, and a conversation that begins around 5:30. And, you know, what is the kind of the springboard for this conversation? Is it really, you know, telling each participant their story and going from there?
Yeah, we'll start off with, you know, they'll share their own experiences, and then we've got a handful of questions that we'll throw out, but we'll also take questions from the audience as well. And I think it'll be a really lively conversation and discussion.
And what, you know, personally, you know, what do you tell young women when they are, you know, they aspire to, you know, ascend to a level of leadership, or even if they're just trying to figure out how to do the best they can in the position they have?
You know, actually, I share something that one of my mentors shared with me, and she said, you know, I was in a new position and a role, and I said, I'm not sure if I can do that. And she said, you know what, that's exactly the place that you should feel. She said, if you ever feel like you're too comfortable, then you're not challenging yourself. You need to feel comfortable being challenged. And so, you know, I tell young women that that's, you know, sometimes that point of not being comfortable and feeling like you're challenged is exactly where you need to be. And when you get a little too comfortable, that then maybe you need to figure out what will my next challenge be?
Right. I mean, part of that is figuring out the challenges. Do you also encourage, you know, anybody, male or female, to learn how to figure out how to set new goals? Because there is sort of a complacency that might happen when you are comfortable.
Mm-hmm. I think setting goals is really important. I think being open to opportunities is also very important. I think sometimes we want to have a plan, a 5-year plan or a 10-year plan, but oftentimes you need to be open to that new opportunity that comes to you, whether it's a volunteer opportunity, a leadership opportunity, a new job, moving, things like that. But being open to those opportunities, and sometimes it's okay to deviate from your plan in order to achieve kind of that next great thing.
And who would you encourage to attend your event on Monday?
You know, I think actually it would be great. We have a wonderful group of people who've already RSVP'd. We've got men, we've got women, we've got folks who I know are, you know, early in their career and starting. And we also have folks who've are a little more seasoned and have been around the block once or twice. And so I think, you know, the hope for this is to really have a conversation and discussion led by our panel, but then to continue that conversation afterwards. So I think it'd be a great thing for anybody who's really interested in this issue to come and join and be part of a conversation.
Well, that's the important part, is that, you know, amongst women, we can talk about this and share our experiences. But the other part of the conversation has to involve men, who obviously are the ones that we also need. We need to win them over in a lot of situations, don't we?
Absolutely. And I think some of it, too, is an educational aspect of it. You know, you mentioned the issue of voices, or when you explain kind of your experience. I think that that's a critical part, is, you know, recognizing and being open to having the conversation, because if it is becomes too antagonistic, you're not necessarily going to succeed.
And that's so, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, that was what we were talking about before, is that, you know, no one wants to have a confrontational experience when we're just trying to talk about what's best for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I think the more that you can have that open conversation and dialogue, the better.
Yeah. And it would always cracks me up when people are resistant, or they're like, well, you know, well, if you're going to just have your own little meeting, then, you know, then it's all separate. What if we had a big guys meeting? What if we talked about, like, what it's like to the senator is wrinkling his nose at me. I have Senator Dan Katowski in the studio with me. No, guys are like, this always comes up where it's like, well, what if we had like an all guys meeting, and what it's like to be a man? I'm like, that's called every other meeting. There is. You're okay, Senator, grab your microphone. Are you giving me that questioning look because you wonder whose voice I'm doing?
No, I just think that It's a good point.
Right.
I would always just want to participate in those meetings. So just to be there and hear what's going on. But I totally understand. I went to an all guys high school,
mm-hmm.
and you know, I mean, there was a benefit to that because you had an opportunity to kind of grow in that environment. But there was also a downside to that in some respects. So I was kind of thinking back. Some people would say, well, you know, you had a good opportunity, right, to be in that position, and. But I also, when I went to college, you know, we didn't give a lot of speeches or presentations before to a room full of young women. So I was like, I was so nervous.
Right.
Right. I was so nervous.
It's a little daunting.
Well, I've been talking to guys for 4 years. So anyways, but
it's interesting you say that. I went to a Catholic university, but public schools. But a lot of my classmates my freshman year were coming from, you know, single gender schools, and both, I think, for the men and the women, it was a little like, oh, wait a minute. I'm going to class with boys now. And
right.
Or yeah. I'm going to class with girls. And, you know, I can see, you know, I think there's strengths and benefits to both of them, but it is an interesting world when you all of a sudden go from, you know, one area to another.
We used to go on this thing called Men's Day at Oakton Community College. There was a men's conference. My father and my brother and I,
right.
But it was a different sort of men's gathering where it was actually a gathering. Guys get together and they talk about their emotions and their feelings. It was completely different.
Like a safe place for
them. Yeah. And we'd beat a couple drums and it was kind of, you know, but it was kind of funny. But
nothing
wrong
with that.
Nothing wrong with beating drums. And
yeah. Well, Cynthia, that's an interesting point when it comes to sort of that, you know, almost that idea of separate but equal, you know, whether it's, you know, schools. Because I just came back from San Diego where the Marines train, they only train the women at Parris Island in North Carolina. They have no recruits on the base in San Diego. And I was thinking, you know, even if they aren't in the same platoons, you kind of want to know that they've had that same shared experience of having conquered the crucible. And do you find that to be the same when it comes to in the workplace? You want to kind of know that people have been through the same, have achieved and earned certain things that put them in that position.
Yeah, I think so. And then my business partner is a man, and he and I have had this conversation a lot where, you know, we actually both think that kind of the best workplaces are one that are gender balanced, because I think that that's, you know, an important aspect. And certainly in communications, you need to be open and thoughtful about all aspects and all perspectives. And so I think, you know, having a shared experience and also learning from each other is really critical.
I agree. And well, hopefully people can learn a lot on Monday night. Again, The View from the Other Side of the Glass Ceiling, a conversation on leadership. We've been talking to Cynthia McCafferty, who is the president of Hawthorne Strategy Group. How can people find out more information about your event?
Information's on our website, hawthornstrategy.com. Would love to have folks come out. And so please take a few minutes, look at it, and RSVP or register so we can plan accordingly for size and space.
Excellent. And we'll put a link on the Patty V Show page as well.
Awesome.
And Cynthia, if you ever have time to come in studio, we'd love to meet you as well.
I would love to come in.
Wonderful. Have a great evening. We'll talk to you again.
Great. Happy St. Patrick's Day.
Happy St. Patrick's Day. More after this on 720 WGN. A little drum beating for you, Senator Katowski, if you want to have a circle time.
I would like
circle,
to kind of share
drum, the drum circle.
Right,
is that what?
Is that, go ahead. Go ahead,
yeah,
Senator.
What do you want to share?
Anything you need.
Senator,
I'm feeling
Katowski.
In a really safe place right now. I'm
good.
Feeling like I want to share something. This
what
is,
do you want to tell us?
I just feel really close to Elliot and Elliot right now.
Elliot.
Both of them.
I'm sorry, Elliot.
Do you guys feel the same way about Senator Dan?
Yes, so you feel
like I've never sat this close to a senator before, so I'm kind of going to slide over a little closer.
Yeah, makes it feel like as a former senator, it's like a repellent.
I thought we were still supposed to call you senator.
You can call me whatever you want.
All right, Dan. Oh, that's weird.
Oh, I can't believe you just
did
that.
No, I'm sorry.
Big Danny K.
Yeah.
Danny K.
Big Danny.
K. Yeah.
DK. No, none of that works for me.
Doesn't?
Have you ever sat this close to a DJ from Disney World?
No. Wanted to. Bucket list moment right now. This is great.
This is very exciting.
Yeah.
We were talking a little bit earlier about Elliot, who is a DJ. He's actually here with C2E2 with some of the productions. And so when you hear music tomorrow walking into the big main area, that'll be Elliot running all that. Right?
Yes.
Don't undersell it. Are you traveling with how much equipment do you have to bring, or are you renting here?
No, everything's
just a laptop
here.
And you just plug it in?
Yeah, well, I traveled with my controller, and then there's a team of four of us that will be running around. So
very cool. And Elliot Serrano will be hosting a panel on Saturday at 5:30.
Yeah, the Adventure Time panel, yes.
The Adventure Time panel. I was supposed to be on a panel for the parents raising geek kids, I think. It was one of the things. That'll be at 6:30 on Saturday as well. But I have to. I'm performing in Port Washington, Wisconsin. I'll be. It's a chicken and comedy night on Saturday. For real.
Nice.
Yeah. I'll be doing that.
Yeah, Port Washington. They're supposed to be big fans of comedy.
They're huge fans of comedy. Yeah. There's a lot to laugh at.
There's so much laughing when you go in the
town.
So
much laughing.
They're usually laughing at me. But yeah, there's a lot of laughter there, Port Washington.
So I will be at Port Washington. But we'll be hanging out at
C2E2. What's the
place? I have to look at my own gigs. I just like get the I put it in my GPS on the day of and I get there. What? Why are you giving me that face?
I don't know. You're getting famous.
What kind of chicken?
A fried chicken.
Exactly. Fried chicken.
I think it's
roasted,
roasted.
That's
the
right.
Dinner Theater in Port Washington, live comedy, chicken comedy is actually what they do. Really do call it chicken comedy night.
So nice. If you're not okay, so is there a fear that if like you're set
at Memories, the place is called Memories, your live entertainment destination?
Right. No, but if you bomb, if your set really bombs, that people will like throw chicken bones.
Yeah,
at
oh gosh, I hope not. No. I don't
or
like
eggs.
Chicken.
Are those fake chickens? Those rubber chickens?
Like the rubber chickens.
Oh yeah,
like the ones that Svengoolie.
Oh, you're on the homepage.
Like right? Yeah,
I have had Svengoolie hit me with a rubber chicken.
Ooh,
yeah,
it's huge.
How's that feel?
It is.
We have to explain this to our guest from Florida as to why that's significant.
Painful?
Why is it significant to be hit by a rubber chicken by the son of Svengoolie?
So Svengoolie is a local. Well, he's no longer local. His show has gone national. But he's one of those a B horror movie hosts here.
Yeah.
And he was known as the son of Svengoolie back in the day, and then he became Svengoolie. So he's very big in Chicago, also, but now is national. His show is syndicated, or not syndicated, it's on a national, and the channel WCAU has gone national.
Right.
And he's so big that Mark Hamill.
Okay, I know Mark Hamill.
You know Mark Hamill.
Familiar?
Luke Skywalker, for those who don't know.
Oh, I've seen the ice skater.
Yeah. Oh, Dorothy. Love Dorothy.
Yeah, his sister Dorothy.
Her older brother.
I'm so confused in this conversation now.
Mark Hamill is
I know all of these references, and you've lost me. Right.
Mark Hamill is a fan of Sven, and wore a Son of Svengoolie shirt under his costume when he was filming episode 7.
What?
Yeah, all 17 seconds of it.
All 17 seconds
of it. When he's like staring.
Yeah.
That's great.
And it doesn't
hey, let's not give anything
compelling.
Away. Some people have not.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert.
He should have had a chicken just kind of April 1st. Out of his room.
It would have been great to be with a chicken if he's holding onto a chicken.
Do I have another break before the news? I don't want to miss anything. Let's do that. And by the way, that was shot in Dingle. More after this on 728 WGN. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. I am joined by the chief editor, chief geek officer. Yes?
Yes.
Geek2me.net.
He could be the chief editor of geek content on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez.
Yeah, that's it. That's why you're my chief editor. I just kind of threw you in with John Tatey.
Thank you for the addition to my resume.
Yes.
You're welcome.
Chief editor of geek content. On Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez. Right. We also have Elliot with one T, who is, what's your exact title as DJ in Disney World? I'm sorry, go ahead.
I'm a master talentless DJ at Walt Disney World.
Master list talent?
Master talentless DJ.
That's so many.
Wait, master talent list, not talent.
Yeah, in order to perform, you have to be on the master talent list.
So wait, you're saying you have absolutely no talent?
Exactly, none at all.
I've heard of self-deprecating, but that's a little rough.
And that is State Senator Dan Katowski. On the line with us is Hannah Stanley, who joins us. Hey, Hannah, happy International Happy Day.
And to you, it's actually this coming Sunday, but I'm so glad we're early.
We are early. We just get
it's
it.
Never too early to be happy.
It is. Well, sometimes a little too early. sometimes it's too early. Like before, I've had coffee. Too soon. Too soon to be happy.
Too soon.
Yeah.
Too soon.
How are you going to celebrate International Happy Day?
Well, you know what? There's so many different ways, and I used to always have, moments of gratitude every Saturday night, and we can still, of course, do that. But the coolest thing is going on in Millennium Park this weekend. It's Live Happy Magazine. is doing an event right by the Bean, or Cloud Gate, if you so want to call it that, which is a little Willis Tower to me. But they are having a Happy Acts campaign, and they're putting up a happiness board, and you can post little things like your happy moments. Mm-hmm. It's actually pretty cool. I'm excited about this.
I think everyone needs to participate in International Happy Day. I think this Sunday, and then carry it over. Don't you think, Senator?
This country could use a huge dose of happiness right now.
Yes.
A massive infusion of happiness. A recognition of how awesome things are, especially in a lot of our lives, and just to recognize that this is a great place to live, that we have a lot of gifts, we have a lot of blessings, and we could use it. And I know people are like, well, you know what, we got to hear what's real. Yeah, we know there's a lot of bad things going on, but there's something to be said for recognizing the fact that there are good things out there. Every night before we go to bed, my kids and my wife, we all talk about three things that you're grateful for that happened during the day. Just three things. That's it.
Love it.
Yeah. And it's just, I think we need to have more of it. And I think it's really an important part.
Let me see if I have three. I know my day's not over yet, but I'm grateful for spending some time with Esmeralda at Vaughn's Pub in Norwood Park.
Nice.
Aw, thanks.
Nice. Of course, I'm grateful. I'm happy for the wonderful meal that I had with my family from the Gale Street Inn. And I'm happy to have such lovely friends and guests on my show tonight. What's that? I got three.
That's right.
Boom.
I feel good.
Don't you feel good?
Don't you feel golf?
I do. And everyone that I work with, I'm also very happy for that.
I'm happy that it was warm enough coming in that I'm going to have an ice cream after the show and not feel bad about that.
That's great. It's one. Yeah. Does that count as two things? You're going to have ice cream and it was nice out?
Yes.
Okay, what's your third? Two.
I'm happy to be a part of this lovely show that we're putting on tonight.
I feel like everyone's got... Hannah, how about you?
Oh, I've got several. One, I'm happy always when I get to talk with you guys and the listeners. So that's my big one for sure. I love my pre-on-air talks with Craig. Every time I call in, Craig and I always go off on some strange tangent
and
they make me laugh. But they always make me laugh. And then actually this is from the other day, but I'm still grateful for it because I was thinking about it just a moment ago. But I called Patty the other day like on a raging rant and man, she talked me down.
It was good. Am I good at talking people down off of ledges?
You're very good at that. She is very good at that.
You talked us up like 10 flights of stairs.
Talk you up and down.
Up and down. Yes. Hannah, Elliot.
You talked me up 94 the other day.
I did. That was a blast. You did such a great job, and I was so sad. I should have waited for you at the presidential towers. I wasn't, because you had waited for me at the Hancock, and I got swept up in like everything was happening, so I stopped midway, but we still missed each other. I would have climbed.
Yeah, no, it's okay.
I'm sorry. Okay. I screwed that up.
It's all right. No.
That's for not happy day.
You and I were like a team at the Hancock, so I was like, she's my girl. I gotta wait. And then at the we're of course talking about you and I did 2 weeks, 2 Sundays in a row of stair climbs. We did Hustle at the Hancock, you and I together, and then many WGN people, including Craig, did the Fight for Air Climb, which is at Presidential Towers. And then this Sunday, we all kind of sat around and went, well, what are we gonna do now?
Mm-hmm.
And like,
I know
we should be climbing.
We should be climbing every Sunday.
Yes, I can't believe I forgot one. I am happy that doesn't happen again until next year.
That's great.
No kidding. I felt like I was in decent shape. Actually, I know one way that you and I were able to condition for both of those climbs. You know what? Can you hold on, Hannah? I want to talk a little bit about how we stayed in shape, because I did something in December that you did a few weeks ago that will also talk to our very good and new friend, Elliot with 1T, who is on the master list of DJs. At the master list DJ.
Master
DJ.
Talent list.
That's what I said. I've heard it all different ways.
The MTL.
Not even two. Master talent list.
Yeah. Why'd you say awesome. A?
Master talent agreement is what it's called.
At Disney World.
You just changed it.
Well, it's the master talent agreement, but the master talent list.
Do you see what happened?
It's super confusing.
This is super boring, too.
But I'm really
Disney loves acronyms.
But I'm really grateful that we heard it.
Wait a minute. Just one more time. How much talent does he have?
He's got zero.
An abundance of talent.
All right, guys.
All kinds of talent. Talent despair. More after this on 720 WGN. We're be happy. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. I am regaling my guests. I'm sorry, Hannah, you weren't. You're on the phone. I should have had the phone open so we could all talk about Disney and how much I really had a great time when I was there. Hannah, you were there. You were at Disney World, and you went on a Disney cruise.
I did.
That's intense.
I did 2 years in a row. I do it all.
Well, one of the ways we managed to stay in shape was how much walking did you use your walking?
Yeah, my Apple
meter?
Watch. Yes. Yeah, it was 32 miles just at the park, which was Monday through, I guess, Friday morning. We really didn't do the parks on Friday morning, so it was 32 miles in 4 days essentially. And then I managed to work really hard and log a few other miles each day on the ship as well.
Right, so that's like more than 8 miles a day. That's intense. Do other people now, Elliot? Are there people at Disney World who like seem like they're just doing it for the workout? Like they're going to compensate for like maybe they've been dragged to Disney World, but they're going to make the best of it. Have you seen anybody like kind of intensely working out?
No, it's funny because with all the new devices out there to measure how much you work, there's a lot of cast members that have like competitions with people in their work area. One of my favorite is Haunted Mansion because they've got the belt that constantly moves. So it's an average of 8 to 9 miles per day that you're walking in an 8-hour shift. So they'll have a competition to
see
who can walk the most in a day.
Yeah, they stay in the same place.
Yeah.
They're on a constant treadmill.
Yep.
I have to say, it seems that, and I don't know how to put this, Elliot, with one T. And maybe Hannah can attest to this. It seemed like most of the cast members in most of the areas seem to be much younger. Is that something that, am I misseeing things
it's
when I'm
just,
there?
We're just older.
Well, no, around 25% of the staffing comes from the college and international program.
Okay.
And so most of them are on internships in the college. That's because the unemployment rate in Orlando is actually really low because within 5 miles of each other, you have Universal Studios, SeaWorld. I mean, you can pretty much walk into any one of these parks and get a job today.
Yeah.
So it's just, they're competing to see who can offer the best benefits and the best packages to keep their employees around. So.
And did you go to Florida to work at Disney World?
I went for an internship for the Disney College International Program.
You came for the internship and you stayed for the life.
I did. I sure did. I was, do I go back to school or do I stay here at Disney? And 19 years later, I think I'm still there.
And Hannah, have you ever like gone there and thought, this was something I really should have done when I was younger, is come down here to work?
Absolutely.
I kind of wish I had.
But see, you can do it when you retire.
I was thinking about that, too, because there seem to be some folks that were quite happily older and working down there as well.
And you can rock the fabulous 40% discount on everything that you get.
A 40% discount?
Yeah, usually around 40% discount for hotel rooms and last-minute Disney cruises. You can typically get sometimes for between $75 to $85 a day.
Hannah, that sounds like a retirement plan for me and you.
That's a good deal.
You and I are going to go there and skip happily down Main Street USA. I've actually been trying to get my parents to, this is going to sound very Seinfeld, go to Del Boca Vista. You'll be happy there. but I keep saying, you should work for cruise lines because they're all retired people or they seem to be of that age group and they check people in and they wish them bon voyage and then they go home.
That's so much better than being a Walmart greeter.
Yeah, they typically work
very similar.
Cruise line, it's typically 3 or 4 days a week because the ships are only in port.
Or only there.
If they're only running two ships out of Port Canaveral, it's 3 days of work per week. So technically they're seasonal. And because they work for cruise line after they've been there, I think, 5 years, they get a free cruise every year. So.
Wow. There you go.
Just saying, Patty. We got a whole plan.
Dan's thinking about it. I'm sorry, Senator Katowski.
That's fine. I'm just still locked on the image of you and Hannah skipping down Main Street.
When we were there, independent of each other, we skipped when we were at Disney World. I think that skipping is,
come on,
it's kind of,
there's a lot of skipping that happens.
I've been there
between Patty and I.
Yeah, I actually had to skip.
I didn't skip.
And
I ran.
No.
No, but to Elliot's point, when I was there, and I think I referenced the fact that I was able to tour a couple of the new restaurants with the executive chef of the Magic Kingdom, and there are, in one restaurant, he told me there are six, and this was a few weeks ago, but there were six open positions on the line. So if you are a cook or in cooking school or culinary school, that's the place to go because they have positions open that they can staff today.
Wow. See, and that's the thing. Here, we're worried about jobs. Go down to Orlando.
Oh, any profession. If you want to make money in Orlando, two words, air conditioning repair.
That's three words.
No, in Florida, it's two words.
It's two words. I love that air conditioning.
We're not very good at the counting
so
in Florida.
You're so good at math. You're so good at math.
It went so well in 2000.
That's right.
Hey, Elliot with one T.
Yes, Elliot with two T's. Yes.
Great job with Trump.
Yeah.
Great job.
All right, then.
Is it all right?
Let's come on. Hey, we're talking about
We're in happy time. Yes. Happy. Go to our happy place.
Hannah, we're talking about International Day of Happiness, which is the 20th.
Yeah.
That's this Sunday.
I was going to say, if we're going to bring up Trump, we should just talk about our brackets, for goodness sake.
Craig, can you check on WGNradio.com and see how badly I did today?
I'm doing really
bad. I got crushed within a game. Well, one game. Go ahead. Yes, Hannah?
I saw that. I just lost out of that Seton Hall.
Did Seton Hall lose too?
Seton Hall lost.
I'm done.
And I had them.
That's
they were my only Elite Eight team that I had. But I've only lost three other games beside that. So 12 out of 16 is, it's all right.
I lost my champion today.
What?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Who was your champion?
Arizona.
Oh, that's right.
I was in first
round.
I was being aggressive.
I picked Michigan State. How am I doing?
No, they're okay. I don't even know if
they played. They didn't play yet.
Yeah. Oh, so I'm doing very well in that sense. How do I find my my bracket?
You go to the WGN
720 Vasquez.
Mm-hmm. 720 Vasquez.
That's that's WGNradio.com, and then you find your bracket, and you're listed under 720 Vasquez.
Actually, I should be listed three times because I registered three times.
You should have picked different brackets.
I know you said that.
You should have.
I don't know why you didn't. If you go to WGNradio.com, on the top page, you'll find a bracket battle link. You can click there, and then you can track the results on the leaderboard, which is on the top of the page.
And can you see how I'm doing there? I don't see it.
Yeah, look up how you're doing.
I know.
Not even on the leaderboard of 500 names.
What does it say? Oh, I see. Scoreboard. NCAA tournament scoreboard. Is that ours?
You want the leaderboard.
I don't know any of this stuff. Senator Gutowski,
such a newbie.
Have you done brackets before? Are you even doing brackets? How'd you do this year? How are you doing so far?
I chose not to do brackets, just to enjoy the games this year.
Just watch everybody else lose their minds?
Yeah, I just love basketball. I coach basketball, and I love it, and it's just enjoyable. So I kind of get into it as it progresses.
Right.
I was huge. I thought Yale beating Baylor was just unbelievable.
Awesome.
Yeah, just a great win. I mean, that was that happen, ever?
That broke my bracket.
Did it break your bracket?
That broke my bracket. That was a bracket breaker.
Yeah.
So it was...
How far did you have Yale going?
I didn't have Yale at all. I'm saying I had Yale
Baylor
losing
lost.
Against.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, okay. Yale won. I had Baylor beating Yale.
Right.
But Baylor lost last year too. So I mean, this is
that's my
it's huge.
That's why I thought they were gonna. They had the fire in their bellies. I have no idea.
Yeah, that's right.
I mostly picked universities that are in states that I've gone camping in.
Great method. It's a winning approach. I haven't camped there. Not picking them.
I didn't know.
No, not picking them. Iowa, no. I haven't camped there. Not picking the Cyclones.
Patty, I have some bad news.
You got to go camping
I
more places.
I should have gone with a different technique.
Your team is also, like mine, not listed in the top 500 names. So
not
you are
500.
Not even in the top 500.
297.
Yeah.
That's Esmeralda.
Yeah.
I'm 971 out of I don't know how many people.
I'm not even in the top 1,000.
Yeah. It's funny. At the top of the page, when you sign into yours directly, it'll go, look at your bracket, you're ranked, and then it has a big exclamation point after the name, and mine has 971.
Now, where do I end up if Michigan State wins the whole thing?
It depends on who else picked what.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I have Villanova and Michigan State playing each other in the final, in the championship game. What?
That's intriguing.
Where's Villanova again? Is that in Pennsylvania? Where is
Villanova? It's in Philadelphia.
That would be in Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Yes, I've been camping there.
I presume, sir, you've been camping in Philadelphia by the Liberty Bell?
In Pennsylvania.
I camped right near the Liberty Bell.
I may have also started to stretch a little bit and go with places I've been.
Places you've seen on Channel 11.
But I gave higher priority to places I've gone camping, like Colorado.
Yeah, I know it's too late to use our bracket decisions for
this
year.
Wait a minute. Did she just say the Colorado lost too?
Yes.
I'm done.
Yeah.
Okay. I should not have gone camping.
You're not doing well.
You really get it.
Colorado's out.
Okay. We have to be that enthusiastic about it.
I know it's International Happiness Day.
It's International Happiness.
She's very happy.
Yeah, let's pump the brakes, everybody. Yeah. We can take a break.
All right. Hannah, okay, so what are you doing? So what else should we do for International Happiness Day?
Well, they're doing a whole thing where there's like laughter sessions and they're doing yoga in the park. It's going to be really, really cool. And you can go to livehappy.com and find out all more about it.
Livehappy.com. Hannah, let's be happy. And we'll dance, even though we're not in the same room together. We're going to dance our way out of this. We're going to be happy.
Done. I am dancing right now.
And let's go skipping. Let's skip very soon. Let's go skipping. All right. Bye, Hannah. I love you. I'll talk to you later.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye. More after this on... I turned your mic off already, Senator. Bye, Hannah. More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Joining us up in traffic is Esmeralda Leon, who we shared a cocktail earlier, just one, because it's St. Patrick's Day.
Had a black velvet.
It was a black velvet.
Or it's a poor man's black velvet.
It was, why are you looking at us like that, Craig? Craig in the producer's booth?
What changed, what made the black velvet poor?
It's usually champagne.
Oh.
But we had cider.
We had cider.
Oh, that is a poor man.
Guinness and cider.
It's a good, I think it's a good substitute.
It was nice to tip one back with you in my neighborhood. Yeah.
Ditto.
Exactly. It's, I think tipping one back, that seems like an Irish thing to say. Does it tip one back? I don't know. Is that?
Can we say it in an Irish accent?
You can.
Okay. And you tip one back right there. You
sure, sure, sure.
Tip one back.
You got to do the
sure.
Always after my lucky terms.
You got a drink to tip back there, do you?
They're magically delicious.
Oh, cheers to you, my friend.
Here's mud in your eye.
That's what it sounds like in my head, is this like this high whistle noise.
I bet your favorite part is the, oh, that's your favorite noise.
Just a lot of noises the Irish make, according to you guys.
That's correct.
Yeah, pretty much.
No, I understand what's happening. Speaking. Live in the Allstate Showcase studio, I am joined by Elliot Serrano, who is the chief geek officer at geektome.net. Now our chief editor of all things geek on the Pretty Late Show.
Chief editor of geek content for Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez.
And then Elliot with one T is the master talent list DJ of Disney World.
At Walt Disney World. Correct, good job.
I had a preposition. Did you see how to correct like the preposition? Yes.
There's a debate as to how much talent he does have, though. So we got to make sure.
This guy behind me, man. I don't know what he's got against me.
We also have with us Senator Katowski, who is now the head of Child Serve. CHILDSERV. They leave the E off because...
The work is not done yet.
And we thank you so much for doing all the work that you do for children and families who are at risk. And how did it come with the... By the way, Scott Santis is here. I don't want to miss that we have the political editor. I mean, the political... I keep doing that to you. I keep promoting you to political editor.
Yeah, I don't want the job.
Political cartoonist for the Chicago Tribune. You had a Kickstarter fund for the flooring for the young women's home. How did that come?
It's come along.
And how can people find that link?
Under Kickstarter?
Mm-hmm.
I have a GoFundMe page.
That's what it
GoFundMe.
Is. I apologize. GoFundMe. I misled you in where the.
That's quite all right.
The campaign is on GoFundMe.
GoFundMe, and you look up Child Surf, and it's a new floor fund for our group home. We have six girls, ages 13 to 18. They live there, and we're helping them achieve their potential and build better lives. And one way in which you can do that is make sure they live in a home that's beautiful. Mm-hmm. And we're trying our best to fix it up. And I'm really excited about the progress we made. In fact, we had a church donate $4,000 today.
What?
Which is great. And yeah,
congratulations.
Really excited about it. Yeah, we have an affiliation with the United Methodist Church, mm-hmm. so we get a lot of support through the church there. And so we've had a lot of support. So a lot of great things have been happening. And at Child Serve, we're really pleased about what's been happening. We've had a lot of kids who've been adopted recently.
Oh, congratulations on that,
yeah,
too.
That's important. Made some serious progress on that front. And we just have a partnership that we're announcing. We're going to be doing this camp for kids who'll provide therapy for kids at this camp it's called the Sheila Doyle Foundation, Camp Sheila, and for children who lost their siblings and their parents to violence. Mm-hmm. And it's a camp that's put on annually, and we're going to be providing the therapy. We're really proud of this partnership.
That sounds like a really great idea because
it's
one place where they don't have to explain themselves to anybody else, or they don't have to feel like nobody gets them.
Yeah, and sadly, so many kids have gone through it in the city, and they need a place to try and heal and work through the trauma that they faced. And like you said, be around people who've gone through the same thing so they can at least feel a connection there. And many of these kids, I mean, were on the cusp of being, suicidal and just feeling so disconnected. And there was a great story of a young woman who went through the camp, and she's going to college. She just got a scholarship, and the camp helped turn around. But what we're going to do now is providing ongoing therapy for the kids who go to the camp, not just a one-shot deal. So
once
exciting.
You have the camp, you can kind of identify what some of the kids' needs are.
Yes, right. There's about 60 kids who go to the camp. Mm-hmm. But it's just an extension of what we're doing to help children to reach their potential, overcome their trauma, build better lives by these therapeutic interventions, make sure they develop the life skills, get access to education, access to support, mentors, so they can lead better lives. And so it's really exciting. A lot of things are coming together right now.
Well, and I was talking last night, and Scott, we were all here on Tuesday night with the primary election results. And I was just kind of exhausted yesterday with kind of trying to wrap my mind around what people are angry about. And I was thinking yesterday, there has to be a way to sort of manifest that differently, that we're frustrated or fed up with things. And one of the things you can do is take positive action in your life. Maybe it is getting involved with organizations like ChildServe. You can go to ChildServe, again, that's ChildServe without the E at the end of serve.org. And there's a lot of information how you can participate, how you can donate, and support the people in your community. So, and if there's something that's important to you, seek that out. There's so many different paths to, a little bit of fulfillment.
Well, the key thing to remember is when you help build a better life, for someone who's going through some challenges, you build a better life for everybody else.
Yeah.
And that's it. It's like, and if you don't, or if you're not unable, if you're unable to make that commitment at the time, we'll see what happens down the road or right now. Right. And some of these kids, when we invest in them on the front end, we're 616 kids that we worked with last year who were in areas where they're struggling economically, but they all are ready for kindergarten and they're flourishing in school. And they're going to be successful in their lives because of that investment on the front end.
And that commitment to them.
Well, yeah, for every dollar that's invested, there's an $8 return. It's just a wonderful proportion. Mm-hmm. And so it's that kind of thing. But people, I think it's kind of this reframing. It's like when we build better lives in areas of our country and our community, you're building better lives for everyone else.
Right.
And it's not in isolation. And there's this whole discussion where there's kind of like this, I don't know, this kind of myopia here where people think, well, it's not going to impact me. Yeah, sure it does. We're all connected on this front. And
I think that you do, sort of benefit yourself, not just, making better lives, but for yourself. Scott, how do you sort of fortify yourself when you're in the middle of, because your job is to, poke fun at, expose the foibles of politicians or social situations, things that, that really do need to have light, shone on it. And maybe people don't agree with you all the time, but you're trying to find, and sometimes they, they're drawn to it or they're repulsed by it, whatever.
Right.
I mean, that's what I do. People will be like, oh, why does she have to use that kind of, base humor, be tawdry? Well, because I think that there is a big wide world out there and there's something to laugh at. There's something to cry about every day. But how do you kind of find that balance in your life when there's such heavy stuff that you're dealing with?
Oh, wow.
Right. How do you take care of yourself? Because I was telling everybody on the air last night that I kind of hit a wall.
Yeah.
I kind of just I'm exhausted.
You hit a wall and you're exactly right. And a lot of days I give myself the right not to be pissed off.
Right.
I mean, there are some days I'm just not that angry. And so I can.
So you choose not to be angry or you just realize you're not angry.
You realize you're not angry and I'm just not that angry today or yesterday or whatever. And you have something else to comment on. But I also have a pretty full life outside of commentary. And so friends and family and all that stuff and the stuff that's important. You just segued into something I wanted to say, if I may. Take a quick break because I've never said this to you on the air and I've been on the show for about a couple of years now, right? Mm-hmm. And I want to say thank you. I think in this environment where everyone's so damn angry and yelling at each other and accusing each other of all sorts of things, I want to take a moment to say thank you and how much I appreciate you having me on the show and how much I enjoy being on it.
My pleasure. Well, I love having you on the show. I don't have people I don't like having on the show.
Too often.
does that make sense?
No. A little bit. No, but I think we don't.
Okay, Scott, you got to be quiet. I got to start yelling and we got to take a break.
Okay.
Senator Katowski was noticing that I've been much more aggressive about doing this. Happy Jack. I don't know the song. We were all kind of looking around in the studio for a moment. Some people seem to recognize it. Others, I'm guessing that the master talentless DJ of Disney World recognized it. Have I got it right now?
Yes, you got it.
Okay, thank you.
Did he recognize it?
Did you recognize that song?
It's The Who.
Yeah, that's correct. One of our callers asked for that song because they thought we were playing all happy songs.
Absolutely. Yeah. We'll play more songs. Mm-hmm. I want that No song at some point, but that's probably not a happy song, is it?
The No
Meghan,
song?
Meghan Trainor.
My name is No.
No.
My
sign
is
No. No. My sign is.
I'm a 38-year-old man. I shouldn't know the words to that.
And it just came out like last week, didn't it?
Yes, it did.
Well, because you, as a DJ at Disney World, now you don't have to worry about people coming up with a slip of paper or making requests to you.
No, no. People nowadays like to come up with their phone and just hold it in front of your face and just be like, this song right here, can you plug this in?
Oh, dear.
No kidding.
And you just shake your head.
Can I Bluetooth it to you?
My favorite is when they ask for a really inappropriate song and you just look at them like, we're at Walt Disney World. What makes you think that's okay?
Baby Got Back.
I could play that. It's some of the newer stuff.
Oh, dear.
Like, really? Are you really asking for this song?
The Marshall Mathers album? Can you play that for me?
Probably not.
Oh. I was mentioning off the air that I would love to take an adult trip to Disney World, and Scott looked at me like, what's an adult trip to Disney? Just without kids is all.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Griffin, if you're listening to the show. Mommy wants to take a trip without the
kids. Yeah, but what about all the other kids in the park?
Okay, so here's the thing. Michael Jackson did it once where he bought the park.
People do it all the time. It's nothing.
How do you do that? How do we do that? How much money do I need?
Lots of money.
How much money do I need? Can we get a Kickstarter?
Did you say lots of people rent out the whole park?
Yeah, oh, yeah. Anybody. Yeah, you can. Corporations rent it out for special events.
What's the price tag on that? Do you know?
I have more than I make.
Have you ever seen one guy rent the whole thing out for himself?
No, we've all heard the Michael Jackson story, but normally he'd just come in the park and kind of like lay low. And I mean, celebrities are in the parks all the time. They're usually with a VIP guide.
I think it would be so cool if Johnny Depp was just like actually on the Pirates of the Caribbean, like standing on the side, pretending to be one of the animatronics.
There are rumors that has happened.
That would be out. Have you seen the Pirates of the Caribbean?
Yes, I mean, of course.
It's all Jack Sparrow. The whole thing is just Jack Sparrow now. Like he's at every turn of the boat.
Did you see the clip of him when he goes into the hospital of the kids who have cancer, and he's dressed up as Jack Sparrow, and he meets with them?
It was really the coolest
thing.
Well, there have been several
celebrities
that are doing that.
But he's in character.
Yeah, he's
Jack Sparrow.
So great.
That's like one of his favorite characters. Mm-hmm. And looking at him, he smells as bad as you'd think he smelled.
Wait, what?
Really? What?
Why do we know this? How is this a piece of information? I'm sorry. You're saying that Johnny Depp is odorific?
Maybe I shouldn't comment.
He's aromatic, is what you're saying.
I may have signed a non-disclosure.
But I heard that about Orlando Bloom, too. Is it something about being in that movie where they just kind of gave up?
I guess maybe it makes it more authentic.
What I mean,
method actor.
Somebody met Orlando Bloom, and that was the only thing they had to say about him was that he stank.
Wow. Really?
If that's the worst thing somebody could say about you.
I guess.
That's a bad thing to say.
I mean, the senator over here smells really good.
Doesn't he, though?
Maybe it's kind of like a smell screen.
I'm sure there's some patent. I mean, there are rides that you've been on where, like when you go on Soarin', you smell the orange trees.
They're changing that. Yes, go ahead.
I remember there was a group that I was going to talk to, and it was part of the culture, the special interest group, and everybody had bad BO. And as you got progressively farther up the chain, and who had more power in this organization, it was more. I'm just saying that's
what
it was.
Part of their culture? Was that their platform?
It wasn't their platform. It was just that, like, refuse. They were very, it was like a macho thing. It's like, I'm not going to shower. It was like, whoa. Yeah, and I was like, can I please have your support?
Yeah, I'm predisposed to not. Craig, actually.
Fundraising in Europe.
Elliot with 1T actually saw me at one point after we started the show reach and just grab the microphone cover off because I can't, it smells. And I'm so sensitive to a smell. What?
I have to tell you what happened. I went to see Mary Poppins, the musical last week.
You did where?
She smelled? Main East. No, but somebody sneezed on the back of my neck behind me.
I've had that happen.
I have to tell you that. I was freaking out. It happened, and it said sneeze, and I went, oh my God. And leaned over to Anne, and I said, this woman just sneezed on the back of my neck. She's like, oh no.
And it was an adult?
It was an adult.
See, like when a little kid does it, it's okay, because they don't know any better, but when a grown adult.
And I expected her to say, sorry, and nothing. Well,
was it like that movie? What was the Ebola movie with Dustin Hoffman where outbreak. Yeah. Was it like that where like some like that's how it spread? Like you see like the slow motion of the spit just coming out of somebody.
Can we have a do a PSA where it's like, hey, adults, cover your mouth when you cough or sneeze.
That's the
what is wrong with you?
You got to do it into your elbow.
Vampire.
Vampire sneeze. Griffin calls it the vampire sneeze.
I mean, they teach this on Sesame Street, and adults just coughing all over.
Some people haven't got the memo. They're still sneezing in their hands, or apparently sneezing without the hands, right in front of the bald guy in front of you, right on his neck.
Because you probably weren't wearing a hat.
It's like splattering right off the top of my head.
You didn't confront her?
Yeah,
did you confront her? No, it was them at Mary Poppins. What am I going to say? Yes, these on my neck.
Chim chiminy. Yes.
Spoons full of sugar.
We were just like hunched for like the rest of.
I was feeling like I was going to get like slowly but surely sick. Like something they're going to have to quarantine me.
You feel it just crawl.
Yeah, so I went into the intermission.
Did you silkwood in the
I washed. I scrubbed thoroughly my neck and my.
Scrub it down. I just brought up a reference that I'm wondering how many people still get now. Did you do a full Silkwood in the how many Silkwood? Nobody? Everyone's looking at me.
Natalie Wood? No, not Natalie Wood.
Meryl Streep.
Meryl Streep. Yeah. Meryl Streep. Cher. The Shower. Yes.
Yeah. Kurt Russell.
He's earned his title.
Yes. Are you familiar with the Silkwood?
No.
Esmeralda?
No idea.
No. Craig. It's a good movie.
Is it a worm of some kind?
No.
Is it a worm?
It's a talentless worm. No,
I have to stop using that as a reference, I think. I have to take that out of my lexicon.
Yeah, it's the you know what?
She works at a nuclear plant, and they believe that there's been a leak. So she has to, they scrub them down with like almost like hard bristle brushes. Oh. And she's trying to be an informant. She's trying to let people know that this is happening.
A whistleblower. Right.
She's a whistleblower. It was a really good movie.
Cher and Coach are in this movie.
Who's Coach?
Coach. Craig T.
Nelson. Yeah. Also Kurt Russell.
Right. See, a Silkwood shower just sounds like a regular shower.
Yeah. It's a scrubbing, painful, raw.
A Silkwood you're radioactive.
A Silkwood shower sounds like something very different than you were describing.
A Silkwood shower is what women take after a date with me. It's really want to scrub themselves.
Don't feel bad. His Facebook is just full of. I don't know how to date. Women don't like me.
Wow. Elliot totally
had a girl hit on him at the what's the place?
The Billy Goat,
and he didn't even notice it was happening.
I didn't pick up on that. I thought she was hitting.
Good news, I got her number, so I will give it to him.
And I was going to say, it says the engaged.
That's a good friend.
I just hope I DJ his wedding.
That's a good friend.
You are a good friend.
It's the Elliot. Wow, Elliot and Elliot. And I'm still getting so confused. Whenever she goes, Elliot, I don't know which one of us she's talking to.
I know. I don't mean to confuse you at all.
It must be weird to be like a John or a Matt and just hear a name and be like, oh, that's probably not me.
You know, I want a quick clarification here. You got her number and you're going to give it. Is she expecting you to call, though?
I have a fiance, so it'd probably be a bad idea.
Yeah, but I know. But is she expecting you to call? Because if he just calls and says, this is Elliot.
She's expecting him. Okay. And she's also expecting to get a whole bunch of music
from
him.
This is
going to
be as confusing.
Yeah. You know what? Craig's creating trouble right now.
I know. He's being contentious.
Yenta.
Well,
stirring it up.
Can I say, if you do give the number to Elliot, at least, you know, like, just a little
prepper.
Hey,
make sure she knows which Elliot it is.
Exactly.
Right, because
it's the same name.
It's going to get real weird.
Hey, this is Elliot. This is Elliot. My friend Elliot.
No, not that Elliot. Yeah. This Elliot.
The Yenta point I was making. Exactly. Yeah. That's it.
She was into him. She was totally into him, and she,
you know, I will.
You're going to sound. That's just going to be a weird call.
Hi,
this is Elliot. I'm Elliot's friend.
You are going to seem a little crazy.
I don't know. I don't. On a totally unrelated topic, when Senator Katowski says my name, I actually hear the second T. I don't know how he does it.
I don't know.
That's a lot of training.
How many T's are there? And I need to take a break. No, my number is no. You need to let it go. You need to let it go. Need to let it go. First you gonna say, you ain't running game, thinking I believe in every word. Call me beautiful, so original, telling me I'm not like other girls. I was in my zone before you came along, now I'm thinking maybe you should go. I don't know, I like it. My name is No. My number is No. This is the power of saying no, that's all.
Did I see Scott Stantis do a kind of like dance walk behind you as he was?
Yeah, I don't know. Were you dancing back there?
It was a special moment.
He did like a little like step move.
You can put these in right here. There should be a smaller hole.
Oh, no.
They don't use the big hole. It's not big enough for the big hole. You got to go into the small hole.
All right. So.
That's better.
That happened. That happened. I apologize.
It did. Yes, I was. Yeah, I was doing the white man dance walk.
Well, and as you, it's a good song to do. I like Meghan Trainor. She's got a lot of fun songs. Some of her music is a bit almost like the Bugle Boy, kind of the Andrew Sisters from the 40s and 50s. And then some of it is, you like that one, a little more R&B, a little more hip hop. So I just enjoy that.
Are you struck by when someone creates music that's very rhythmic, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's just really easy to dance to.
Uh-huh.
Like I saw New Order last night, and then the lead singer is kind of dances like, his name's Bernard Sumner, and he's awesome, but he kind of dances like your uncle.
Like
would,
Scott?
Like your uncle. Like your uncle would be dancing at like a wedding. Like your favorite uncle. You're so like, cute. Hey, it's so great that he's out on the dance floor, but oh man. You know? But you would, it's kind of a contradiction.
Well, don't you think that there's a moment where you're dancing, you think, you know, you feel good about it and you're moving with the music? Well, I take these videos when I do CrossFit, and when I drop the barbell, I will dance a little bit afterwards. And so I have the camera running, and then I see it, I'm like, oh, that's not at all how I thought I looked when I was dancing.
It doesn't matter. I lack in talent, I make up for with enthusiasm, because it feels good to dance.
Yeah.
It feels good to move.
What's that great quote, dance like no one is watching, right?
Yeah. I like to dance like everybody's watching.
I like to dance like really self-consciously.
Yeah, I'd love to
dance.
Be that guy that, oh man, do you see, look, watch him. No.
I'll never be that person.
No.
Really? You're not a good dancer?
I have my moments.
Yes.
And then there are all the other moments that happen around those moments.
Around the dancing?
Around the dancing.
Okay.
Scott, you are the cartoonist for the Chicago Tribune.
I am.
What are you working on tonight for tomorrow's paper?
Well, it ran tomorrow. It's Hillary being sworn in, and she's handcuffed and hand on the Bible saying, I'll take the fifth.
With what? On her wrist?
Yeah.
On her with shackles?
Yes.
Yes, she's shackled. Why, is there new information that she's going to be arrested?
You know, I got that question from my editor. Says, is there something new? I go, no, it's just some old stuff. It's just, it's like, you know, it doesn't have to be breaking cartooning every day.
Is it also because we are now, we're pretty sure who our two candidates are going to be for the two different parties? And let's see.
Sorry.
That's all right. You have to have faith in the system. I mean, is it hard this year to have faith in this? Shouldn't we have faith in the system?
No, it's not hard at all.
All right.
I think it's. Yeah, I'm entitled to my opinion. But
you are.
Yeah,
I think noises at it.
Yeah, but I think it's. You're talking about the system in general, but you can have faith in candidates who are out there
and people.
And people.
Someone said, "Who was it? Was it Chris Christie or is it no Ben Carson?" Dr. Ben Carson said, "If he turns out to not be a very good president, it's just 4 years." Which that fell really hard. Yeah, that fell
my
very
God.
Hard.
4 years.
No big deal. Why don't we just vote?
Can you say it like Ben Carson, though?
You know what's funny?
My son can, oddly enough. Griffin does impressions. He does impressions of Ben Carson. Not Joe. He does impressions of the entire. Yeah,
people who are very well off act as if like 4 years is nothing. But for people who are not, 4 years, I mean, your life could go to ruin. You know?
Well, as Stephen Colbert mentioned.
In a month it could happen.
Right. And Stephen Colbert made a joke that, what could happen in 4 years? Like, you know, World War II. That was also the Civil War was only 4 years.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's what happened.
Try holding your breath for 4 years or not going to the bathroom for 4 years.
That's so long.
Yes.
Now I have to go to the bathroom.
Can we take a break?
Potty break?
Can we take a break?
Take a break here. How do you like your chair?
It's a really nice chair.
We want to thank Office Designs in Northbrook for these
fantastic
chairs.
Have you checked
this
one? Check this back of this thing.
Yeah, that was the one that Elliot liked. Is that comfortable?
It's comfortable.
Is it a little too low? You might be able to adjust the height of that.
I can do that. It's like a captain's chair.
It's very comfortable. So. Mm-hmm. Are we supposed to be talking about this? Is this part of the whole deal with the chairs?
I've talked about the equipment in the studio before. You know, when things break, when things are going well, I like to sort of pull the curtain back.
I didn't know if it was part of like
my schedule. Was it on the rundown?
No, Craig, did we put that in?
Did we schedule it in? I was supposed to talk about Bill and Mary Hayward more, and I forgot about that. They're the lovely couple I met this morning at Ada's Market on Northwest Highway in Nord Park. It may have been actually in the afternoon. To me, morning starts.
Did they know who you were?
I did introduce myself. I said I work. Well, it was a moment where Bill said, "Did I say Bill? Bill and Mary Hayward?"
Yeah.
Bill said he was retired. He used to work for the railroad, and his wife is a retired Catholic school teacher. And then he turned to Steve and he said, "What do you do? You're not retired, are you?" And there was that moment. It was the first time really where I said, no, my husband, I answered for Steve, which was weird because I don't know. I should have found out how he describes himself when people ask him what he does. But I said, no, he's a stay-at-home dad. I host a radio show on WGN. And then they said, oh, WGN, you guys don't carry the Cubs anymore. I was like, really? That's what you go to? They've heard my show. They were very delicate about not sharing their opinion of my show.
So oh, really?
Yes. They're like, oh, we've heard you before. You know who we listen to? We listen to that Sunday night show with the old time radio. They listen to Carl Amari.
Oh, okay.
And they were saying that they were wishing he played more Jack Benny, which I think is appropriate. So it was lovely to meet them. He was born on the South Side. He's South Side Irish and loves the Sox. And I know I couldn't help but look at you cross-eyed, Scott, when you came in with that Sox hat. It's fine. It's just weird.
South Side Irish thing.
And that was Bill was from the South Side. But he married a fine Irish lass of the North Side who was also a Cubs fan. So it was really cool to run into them in our market today.
So at least they didn't say like you're in so about your show. I think your show's interesting.
Thank you.
You know, no, but at least it's interesting.
No, they didn't say it. Thank you for trying.
Thank you for trying.
Oh, no, we have. Yeah, my
way to give it a college try.
Yes.
You know?
Well, Scott has the organ player at his church. Yes. Is very disappointed in the type of show that I have.
Yes. Does she always have to do that? Does she always have to be that crude? Does she always have to? And I go, well.
Not
I've
always.
I've never heard that.
I kind of walked down that line.
I have with her. Why can't you be more crude?
I don't know.
Well, he's still listening, right?
Yeah. He is still listening. There must be something about him that likes the show, right?
Her, yeah. Doesn't sleep, and then she loves WGN.
Well, thank you for keep. I'm glad that she keeps trying.
Stick with Patty. She's
worth redeming.
Yeah.
we'll pray for her.
Thank you. Craig, did you want to say that? Craig said,
no,
like
are we praying for Patty or for the organist? Who are we praying for?
Who are we praying for? Who needs to be saved? I feel all right. Is there something you know that I don't? Am I headed in a certain direction?
Well, if you don't know yet.
All right, then. That's fine. That's absolutely fine. Craig, I know that we had a rundown.
We did. We did have a plan.
I know we had a plan, but yeah. I may have let it go earlier.
That's fine.
That's fine. That's absolutely
there was a plan?
Do you know that there's a short list for the superintendent now, for the Chicago Police Superintendent? Yeah, there are three.
And there's a chick on it.
Okay. How do you describe the other two people?
It all goes
dudes?
Back to chicken.
Two black dudes. You're gonna say,
are they?
Yeah, two black dudes and a chick, I guess is what what it's come down to.
Walk into a bar. I think a female chief would be a really good thing. We've tried the male thing and doesn't work out quite so good.
Well, we need to try something new. I mean, there was a spokesperson on today, I think it was on Ro Khan's show, talking about how there just has to be someone. I think one of the nominations, one of the people on the shortlist.
Yeah, the shortlist. Shortlist is
one of the candidates, I guess, would be. No? All right.
Shortlist candidates? Sure.
Yeah.
You're fine. You're in the right universe.
Has criticized the attorney's office, has criticized the mayor. He's not I think he's the one that's from outside of Atlanta. He's in Georgia and has said that, you know, that took too long, that the mayor made the wrong choices. So the conversation is it better to hire somebody, to appoint someone who is going to be possibly contentious? Because they do need to be an independent body. They need, you know, this is someone who has to have strategy, has to know what they're doing, and they, you know, don't want to, if they don't play by the same rules that maybe the politicians do. Is that what we need?
Well, no, the best thing is to look at their record, where they are currently and where they've been, and are they having the right results? I mean, we are two times ahead of the number last year of homicides in this city, and that's unacceptable.
Yeah. I agree. I you know, with all the sort of loud and vocal protests that we've had over the last, you know, few months, especially since the video of Laquan McDonald was released, you know, people, it's funny how the line, not funny, but it is dramatic on how the lines have been drawn of Black Lives Matter and then Blue Lives Matter. And it's everybody's life matters. It's when you say Black Lives Matter, you're not saying more than somebody else's. But
that's the implication, but that's wrong. They're taking it wrong. You're right. I mean, there's a report that came out late this afternoon that reports from, and I cannot remember the victim's name, the kid who was allegedly wielding the bat and the cop shot the kid and also shot the woman who opened the door next to the kid.
Right, right.
The reports are saying that he may not have been swinging the bat at all, that he was threatening. So this makes, you know, this is just one of those stories that's just potentially going to get pretty bad.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's important, though, in the conversation, disproportionality is an important part of the conversation. I mean, the number of people who are African-American are disproportionately impacted by gun violence and disproportionately impacted by crime. So, I mean, and there's this conversation is an important one to have. It doesn't, it's not to the exclusion of other people, but when the death rate in the community of for people who are white is precipitously lower or significantly lower, it's like a, I mean, it's like 150 per 100,000 for gun violence, and it's like 30 per 100,000 in the community.
Well, the number one cause of death for African American males in the United States under 35 is homicide. I mean, that's insanity.
So
that's,
it is part of the conversation that we had. It's not, and it doesn't necessarily. I think there's this view that it sort of threatens people's, people's presentation or perspective or where they come from or what it, or whether their life is valued as much as another life. It's not really the point of the conversation. The point is that we have a problem and it needs to be fixed.
Right.
And if it's not fixed, it impacts everyone. And it, as it currently does,
right.
And it permeates everything. The criminal justice system, it permeates everything economically, and that's why, you know, one of the reasons why I'm doing what I'm doing, because when you invest in people, regardless of their race, but because of their economic situation, it just happens to be that a great percentage of people who are in that situation, who we happen to be serving, are people who are African American or Latino or. You know what I mean? And so what are we doing as a country to address that? And I think that's been part of the lost in this conversation has been like, well, yeah, all lives matter. Of course they do. Of course they do. Of course they do. But what are we doing to address this area of our society where it's disproportionately impacted by violence?
Incarcerating the hell out of them.
Yeah. And what are the steps that are being taken?
I mean,
like, really,
when
you think about it, the cost of helping nonviolent offenders, right? Of that helping to redeem them or rehabilitate them in a way away from their being incarcerated is a program Redeploy Illinois. It costs about $12,000 to $14,000, but if they're incarcerated, it's about, you know, $25,000 on average. So we're saving $10,000 plus. We're helping reduce recidivism rate significantly. They're not going back into prisons when they're in this program for nonviolent drug offenders. And there are programs out there that don't warehouse people in the prison system and that happen to rehabilitate people. And that's got to be an important part of the conversation. And I think that's kind of been lost in a lot of this because it's not, you know, it's my team or the other team. We're all a part of this, but it is an important part of the conversation. It's a culturally competent conversation that our country needs to have and to have it in a reasonable way.
Right. But it seems like everybody digs in when and this, I think, really, you know, was displayed to what the country thinks happened at the Trump rally seems to have sort of exemplified that. They're like, oh, see, you know, this whole the protesting and they're just angry. And, you know, when I see people online call protesters animals, you know, they've already made a decision about an entire group of people who are angry and frustrated rather than going, you know, what is going on that is so. And for the same thing, when we're like trying to figure out, like, why are people drawn to a candidate who so seems to exemplify everything that makes me unhappy or, you know, that goes against everything I believe in, instead of going, OK, that's something's going on there. And that's what I mentioned last night. We all have our own truths. So let's accept that and figure out how we can work together. Is that too much to ask for? It is too much. Okay.
It's a lot.
All right. It's time for a potty break. More for this on 720 WGN. Is this a... What is it? Is this from Bosom Buddies?
I don't know.
No.
What's... It is the theme song from Bosom Buddies. Yeah, the comedy that launched Tom Hanks is... can you come closer to your microphone, sir?
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Wait, maybe I should turn your microphone on.
How long has it been off?
The whole time.
The last hour.
Welcome to the show.
Hey, hi. It's great to be here. Good thing I wrote down all my material over here. It's all in my journal.
Oh boy! Yeah, that was Bosom Buddies, is a sitcom that Tom Hanks was on with. What was the? I always feel bad for the other guy. that ended
well,
up
he went on to Broadway success.
Did he? Peter Scarelli? Is that his name?
No. Well, maybe I'm thinking of
someone See, else. You don't even know who his co-star was.
Oh my gosh. No, you're right. No, he went on to
He did Newhart. Yeah, he did Newhart.
And then never to be heard from again.
No, he does a lot. He works.
Does he?
He's very funny. I liked him. I had a crush on him when he was on
Did you really?
I did. I always liked the less popular, like any duo. Like I like John Baker on Chips. Instead
Not
of Ponch.
Yeah.
No, I didn't like Ponch. I thought he was just a little too...
I didn't like Ponch either.
A little too slick.
I don't know what the big thing was.
Yeah. I liked their boss, the captain.
Yeah. I thought he was overcompensating with his pecs. You know?
Was that what... Because he was always kind of strutting and his teeth were a little too white.
A little too white.
He was already bleaching his teeth before that was even a thing.
I don't think he had to either. No.
It was a little too much.
He's a tiny fella, by the way. I was at a restaurant in L.A. once, and he walked in, and he's...
Are you short?
Yeah.
Interesting.
I'm not that tall. I'm 5'11", and I loomed.
Wow.
You're 5'11"?
Yeah.
Come on.
What?
With lifts.
What? Wow. No.
What just happened in my studio? Some sort of weird macho.
Testosterone apparently is just flooding the studio.
I'm just kidding, Scott. Wow. You're 6'2". You're at least 6'2".
No, I'm not that. I wish.
Also, weird crushes that I had. Gopher from Love Boat.
Oh, good Lord.
Come on, really?
Yep. Also, Robin, not the one that Esmeralda dressed up as, but Robin on Batman. I liked him better. Burt Ward.
You liked Robin better than Batman?
Yep.
All right.
312-981-7200. Weird crushes that
so
you had.
So you liked Mr. Roper instead of Jack Tripper?
No, but what was his?
You like
what was
Larry.
His skis?
Larry. Yeah.
No, I liked, the Regal I liked Beagle. Huh? Oddly, it was Janet.
It was an experimental
was
time.
Yeah, you know, I was young and confused.
I actually liked Janet more than Chrissy.
There you go.
I did. You know,
312-981-7200. Surprising crushes. When you tell people that, they just look
at
you.
That's a great question.
Surprising crushes, yeah, right.
312-981-7200. I also liked, this isn't a big one, but in Star Wars, there were most girls liked Harrison Ford, and I liked Mark Hamill.
You could like. I think that was a 50-50 split.
I don't know if it was 50-50. I think it was
really?
Probably. I think it was probably more 70-30. People.
Now, Charlie's Angels, I liked the, what was it?
Jacqueline Smith.
No.
No, Sabrina.
Kate?
Yeah, Sabrina.
You like Kate Jackson.
I liked the smart one.
Yeah.
Huh?
There you go.
I thought Jacqueline Smith was both smart and beautiful.
I aspired to have her hair, and I still work at it every single day.
Did you really? Mm-hmm. Did you feather your hair?
I really did feather my hair.
Like in the middle?
I've got to find. Hold on. I'm going to pull up a picture for you, actually.
It
was
short.
I was also a jock. It was a confusing time for me. So I both feathered my hair, but I still look like I kind of had a mullet. It was kind of a feathered mullet. Really. I will. You know what? Is it too late for Throwback Thursday? I guess it might be too late for Throwback Thursday.
So you look like you could have been like a...
like a football player.
A better looking version of Eddie Lee Roth? Or...
I don't know. I'll pull it up for you. I have a picture from when I was 12 years old. That
or
someone,
no, like...
someone just sent me this picture. I'll find it in a moment. But 312-981-7200. Odd.
Secret crush. Who did you have a secret crush on there, Dan?
Who didn't I have a secret crush on? when I was...
I don't know how to answer that question. That seems like a whole big world.
There's
right?
Madeline Albright.
My God, she totally did it from Madeline Albright. Secret crush.
Yeah. Yeah, so ones that people go, really? They just kind of turn their head like...
Well, like, are you too young
to
remember the Monkees?
Well, it played on... it was on Channel 32. Okay, WFLD played a lot of those.
All right, because did you have a crush on Davey or on...
oh, that's a good question.
Or
no.
Peter.
God, thank you.
I thought he was going to ask me the question.
I like
Nesbitt?
Mickey.
Mickey, yeah.
Yeah.
Nesmith.
Yeah. Why are you pointing at me like that?
Because I knew it was going to be Mickey.
It was Mickey. Mike Nesmith.
Because it was funny.
Pre or post per Mickey?
Both. More after this on 720 WGN. Who's
That's
your weird
really
crush?
Weird.
You are listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. There's an off-air show going on that I can't put on the air because we've asked people what their crushes are. They're surprise crushes that other people might
Does Craig
like.
Have a secret crush?
Well, let's get to our listeners. Do you
Sorry.
I can't think of like a surprising one.
Mr. Kite's been waiting for
like
a long time. Is it Mr. Kite?
People.
Is the name
Mr.
Of...
Kite.
Hey, Mr. Kite. Hello?
Hey, how are you doing?
We're good. Thank you for holding on for so long. What is your surprise crush?
Well, I have two that popped into my head that were really, they were funny. They make me laugh. One of them was when I was about five or so, the cartoon movie Hercules came out.
Okay.
And the main, like, character girl, I think her name is Meg. In that movie,
and it was, and that was your. And I think there are people who've had crushes on animated characters.
Oh, yeah. Scooby Doo, Thelma.
There you go.
Yeah,
Yeah.
Yep. Oh,
the smart one.
Daphne.
Mr. Kite?
Well, Daphne was the one, was the smart one with the glasses, yeah. Right? Daphne's the one I had the crush on.
Did you have a Scooby-Doo?
No. Daphne's not the smart one.
Thelma's the smart one.
Thelma's the smart one.
Okay.
Yeah. But Daphne's the hot one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, everyone liked Daphne. I like the smart one. I don't know.
See, there you go, Mr.
Smart.
It's like Ginger Marianne. I'm sorry.
Yeah, Mr. Kite. Yes.
And I just remember, for some reason, I don't know, I just thought she was like, you know, I was five, so I don't really know. But that's from the bell. And then another one is I took a year off after my freshman year of college. Uh-huh. And worked at a full-time. And my boss was a 51-year-old Hispanic woman. And he was like a grandma. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I had just gotten back from, went to Illinois, U of I, and I had just gotten back, so I was around all these girls my age, and I was just, like, infatuated mm-hmm. by woman Maria.
Wow.
Everybody at the bank knew it, and I wanted to go get a drink with her more than, like, anything.
Was she single?
Yeah, she was.
And then you never asked her out? You just felt too weird?
I did, but it was, I was only 20 at the time. I wasn't 21 yet.
Ah.
But we couldn't do it. And I think she felt it a little bit too.
Well, I mean, there's got to be something intriguing about, you know, when you're 51 and there's a 20-year-old that shows an interest. That's kind of, I don't know, there's something exciting about that. Mr. Kite, that was very vulnerable of you to share that with us, and we appreciate it.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Thank you.
Guys, have a good night.
Thank you, too. Have a great night. Thank you. And then, Linda, how are you doing? What's your surprise crush?
Well, I had a couple of them. The one that a lot of people couldn't understand is I couldn't stand Elvis, but I love Fabian.
Oh, interesting. Right, because Fabian was a little bit more, like a little more delicate, I would say, than Elvis.
Yeah, not quite as
No, he just
sneery.
Had a sexier look to it, that's all.
That's what you were drawn to, yes.
Yeah, you know, we're all teenagers at the time. And the other one was Tom Selleck.
Oh!
Many people didn't care for him, but I think he's aged very well.
Oh, I agree.
Oh, I got to tell you, my wife, when they had the Magnum PI reruns, every day I come home from work, those are on.
The Magnum PIs?
Yes, yeah. Really. She won't let me grow facial hair. I don't understand this.
And the other one was Ray Dayton. He was he played Legs Diamond every week on TV, and then he was one of James Bond movies. Hmm. He was James Bond.
I don't know. I'm not familiar.
What's his name again?
Yeah,
Ray Dayton.
Ray.
I think he passed away. Yes.
I have to look up for Ray Dayton. I'm trying to think of one of my other goofy crushes. I had a big crush on Tony Danza. From Taxi.
Did you really?
When he was on Taxi. Not even when he was on Who's the Boss. I did. What?
That's adorable. No, he's a fit guy. He was a professional boxer, so he had he's in good shape.
He was cute. What? I'm sorry, what was the name again? Ray
Dayton.
Dayton. All right, let me take a look. I'm going to take a look at Ray Dayton.
We're looking up.
He was, Warner Brothers had a bunch of weekly programs on there for a few years. And his was Legs Diamond. I think he was on Wednesday nights.
Legs. I'm trying to find. I'm coming up with something.
I love this because nothing's more interesting than hearing someone Google something.
Right.
This is scintillating radio.
I know. It's called Googling with Patty Vasquez.
Did you go ooh?
Ooh.
Like ooh good or ooh?
I'm not
like,
sure if I'm getting the right person.
Or like what's wrong with Linda?
Legs,
ooh or
legs
what?
I know.
Yeah. Wow.
I'm getting a lot of.
You guys are bringing back some old feelings here.
I know. I think I have got the right person. This is the rise and fall of Legs Diamond, right?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Oh no. Maybe I'm not sure. This looks like maybe that's who she's talking about. I have to take a look.
Sure.
It was on every week.
Is he a slender fella, brunette guy?
Mm-hmm. Pardon?
A slender fella,
yes.
Brown hair.
Yeah.
Yeah, preparing a lot of hair product.
Very nice eyebrows. They're very expressive. Yeah.
Back then, men had eyebrows. And we weren't afraid to grow them.
Okay, this is a strange thing that my son, he doesn't like it. No. My son has really handsome eyebrows.
Okay.
Wouldn't you say, Linda, like that's an element of men that like they would be surprised that we're like, oh, those are really handsome eyebrows.
Yes, and I think it has something to do with bringing out their eyes. It's just the way it makes their eyes look sexy, I think.
Yep. Well, I'm not saying that to my son, but I'm impressed with. I was just surprised.
Well, like, Mom, you're going to have to stand on the side and watch the girls that come by every day giving him homework or helping him out.
I'm telling you, Linda, he is a handsome kid. Yes, Craig?
We talked about attractive eyelashes last week, and now we're talking about attractive eyebrows.
Which, by the way, Fabian, very attractive eyelashes.
Yes.
Yes. There you go. Yeah.
I am slicking back my eyebrows as we speak
just
right
do,
now.
They did this. Yeah, Linda, where Griffin studies guitar, they've just asked him to join the rock band, the summer rock band that they have. And I was like, oh, here we go.
Nice.
This is where the girls start going. I'm getting a little bit nervous. I mean, it's just, you know.
How old is he?
He's 12.
Oh God. Okay. Yeah, you're right on the doorstep there.
Wait.
I know.
I have two boys and, well, they're 51 and 45. And I'll tell you, once they hit that teenager and start up, oh my, I don't like girls. But boy, when they walk by, you Yeah, Mom, you're going to stand your toes.
I have to say, Linda, I've been cherishing, like I hang out. One of the things I do before my show every night, one of the reasons I love having this show and not later, not earlier, is because I actually spend the hours from when Griffin comes home from school, Declan comes home from school, we do dinner, we do homework, and then we watch something together. We watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. or Flash or Arrow. Mm-hmm. And lately, Griffin's been hanging, when he's back on the couch, he reaches out and he holds my hand on the couch.
Nice. Aww.
And it is this, and I have enjoyed, every time he does, it's just the coolest thing to me that he just wants to hang out with Mom and watch the superhero shows. And yeah, so I've been savoring all of that because I know.
Oh yes.
You know, it's we shall not pass this way again. So I try to enjoy every moment.
Yeah. And Patty, I'm going to tell you, our boys are our boys forever.
I know.
But there's a little saying, your son is your son until he takes a wife. Your daughter is your daughter all your life. And those of us with sons, I cherish, and I'm glad I cherish those moments and I can remember them because it happens.
Yeah.
It seems like they all go to the wife's families.
Oh.
And, you know, it's like they call and they call, and then it gets a little further, you know, and that cherish these moments now.
Linda, you're making Patty sad.
No. I love the love in her voice.
Yeah,
but it does
break your heart because my kids, we actually have a contest. My wife and I talk about this all the time. If we drop dead from a gas leak or something in our apartment,
oh my goodness,
how long would it take for our sons to realize we were dead? And we've come to the conclusion it's about 8 months. Because they just don't call her and get, pay much attention.
Hey, okay. Well, Linda, you and I are lucky moms then compared to...
No, my great guys, they just don't pay attention.
We are going to bring over a meatloaf for you, Linda, and Scott this week.
Linda, could you use a gift card from Apt Electronics? Can I send you one of those?
Yeah. I think one of my boys could probably use it.
Well, yeah, especially to buy a phone to make sure he keeps calling you and stuff.
Yes.
Maybe some... Linda, you hold on the line because it's one of my favorite calls I've had all week. And I love all of our callers, but Linda touched our hearts a little bit. So we want to hold on the line and then Craig, get your information. Chad has a surprising crush to share with us. Hey, Chad.
Hey, guys. Okay, so when I was a kid, I was really into, like, Spengooly, like a lot of us were growing up, and watched a lot of B-movies. But I got a hold of a VHS when I was young. I think it was my brother's or something. And I was obsessed with the movie Faster Pussycat Kill Kill. I don't know if you guys ever seen that movie, but there's a woman named Tura Satana who is the lead in that.
Oh, Dan's nodding.
What's that?
Dan is nodding, yeah.
And I was obsessed with her, and I'm like, you know, 12 years old, my mom, I don't know if she thought it was weird, but they just thought it was funny that I've watched this just bad Russ Meyer film over and over again. I guess what 12-year-old doesn't watch a Russ Meyer film and love it, right?
Right.
So, that being said, I got to meet her years later. She has passed away now. But, you know, I talked to her a little bit. She actually grew up and kind of, ironically, I grew up on the South Side, and she grew up in the little Italy area.
Oh, wow.
So she ended up being discovered by Russ Meyer at a strip club in Calumet City. She told me her old story. Yeah, and actually Elvis tried to, from what I heard in her book she wrote, that Elvis tried to marry her.
Wow.
Yeah, she had quite an interesting life. Anyway, she's beautiful. She's very exotic looking, and I was just obsessed with her as a little kid, and I kept watching all these
really bad movies, which I actually still own.
Yeah,
well, I still own them.
Right, the kind of thing where you like just want to see everything they do. We were talking about that the other night when you sort of develop an infatuation with an actor or actress, and you kind of want to see everything
they
do.
Absolutely.
Yep. Well, thank you so much, Chad. I appreciate that. It's a
no
great
worries,
story.
Guys.
Thank
Enjoy
you.
Enjoy your night.
You too. Have a great night. We were talking about spending time with our kids, and Neil wanted to join the conversation. Hi, Neil.
Hey, you know, make it quick. I got to commend you for, you know, spending time with your kids and, you know, working your professional schedule around your kids' schedule.
Yeah, I am a very lucky mom. And for whatever reason, I've ended up in a career where it's worked out that way.
Well, it has nothing to do with luck. It's all about the way you parent. I'm a divorced dad. Both my ex and I are remarried. We have an 11 and a 13-year-old, and we live a block away from each other. And both of us see the kids almost every day.
Yeah.
All four of us live our lives around the kids. You know, I worked hard enough to where I'm in control of my professional schedule.
Right.
So I can put my tools down at 2, home at 3, dinner everybody, you know, they get to bed, and then I go back to work at 8:30 or 9 and work till 2 or 3 in the morning.
All right. Yeah, you make you it know, up.
And
you
I see
them
every day. And the days that they're at their mom's, they leave mom's a little early. They stop by my house. We spend 5, 10 minutes together in the morning. They go to school. My kids are the luckiest kids alive.
My kids too. I'll challenge you on that one.
Well, it,
I know,
you
know, I'm teasing.
It's all about love. You know what I mean?
Yes, it is.
And it's better. It's easier to teach the kids love than hatred.
Absolutely,
it is.
Know
what I mean,
you got to work at hatred. Love should come easy.
And it's not, you know, they learn by example.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So anyway, all right. Well, that's all I have to say. You have a good night.
You too, Neil. That was lovely. Thank you so much.
Yep. Good night.
Good night. I it's funny because Griffin has grown up most of his life knowing his dad to be a stay-at-home dad. When Griffin was 5, Steve lost his job. So he remembers kind of that his dad went to work. He remembers when I used to drive, I would pick up Steve from work. We're actually right across the river. He worked in the building where they shot the Dark Knight. Hmm. Christian Bale's apartment is on the first floor of the building Steve used to work in. And, he's got some sort of memory of that. But to him, like, being a parent means being there most of the time, being there when you need somebody. And not every family is that fortunate.
Right.
I actually had someone try to mom shame me on Facebook when I went to the Marine Corps boot camp. They had posted a picture of me on the WGN radio website. I was in my hotel room trying to get the connection going for the broadcast.
Right.
I went to the boot camp, and then at night I would do my radio show, and some woman posted like, give me a break. Right. So I wrote back about what? And she said, you and I have a different idea of what it means to spend time with family.
Oh, good Lord.
And I was just like, I didn't even respond because like, oh, I didn't know it was a mom shaming moment.
Somebody's jelly. That's all.
I have a very fun life. I love what I do. And I'm lucky enough to be able to spend a lot of time with my family. Part of why you're choosing to do what you do is to have Senator Katowski is to have a more meaningful and direct impact on families throughout the Chicagoland area. Whereas when you were in Springfield, it was sort of like you kept hitting a wall. But also now you are spending time with your family and watching your boys grow up, and you're there for games that you maybe weren't able to be at before.
Yeah, it's really special. It's a real gift. And you were talking about your son, Griffin, you're watching TV with him the other day. My wife and I were on the couch and Cooper was there. I said, can you come on out, let's snuggle for a little bit.
He's
like, oh, come on. I'm like, just get over here.
How old is Cooper?
Five. He's 12.
Yeah.
I said, just come on over. And then he did. And he hung out with us. And it was great. And I'm around more in the way that I wanted to be around and needed to be around. And it's definitely shows and how happy the kids are and how happy, you know, my wife and I are. So it's really cool.
Confidence too.
Yeah, right. It is. It's just, it's great to be in public service, and it was an honor to do it, and I'm still am doing it, but in a way that I have a better, I know it sounds this work-life balance people talk about all the time, but to achieve that and to have that, especially when the kids are at the age they're 15 and 12, and yeah, they didn't know any different. They always knew that, you know, father was going to Springfield, I was gone 4 months of the year, but now they see like, wow, you mean dad's here all the time? And, you know, in some respects, they were not the most thrilled about that in terms of, and I'm a different kind of sheriff, but it is. It's been a really neat and special time in our life. So I'm grateful for it.
Yeah, I take mental pictures all the time. Do you have mental pictures from when the boys
were
younger?
Oh, gosh. I was just talking to someone about today about what's on your shuffle and the song of Stand By Me,
which was very was the movie was out. It was on heavy rotation on MTV, and sure. I had the 2 a.m. feeding for Spencer, my oldest. And so that's our song.
What?
Yeah, just like
that's
I always,
beautiful.
And I would sing to him while I was feeding him. And it was, yeah, that's, those are one of those moments, and you just hold on to him forever. And I joked about my kids, but they're amazing mm-hmm. men. They really are. I'm very lucky.
You are. We all are. More after this on 720 WGN. Oh, we're almost done with our show. We only have a couple minutes left. We were sort of reminiscing about, really just sharing stories about parenting and boys. All three of us have two boys, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting. How far apart are your kids?
2 years.
2 years?
A little less than 2 years.
Three.
Two. Mine are 18, no, 20-some months apart, 23 months. 23 months.
So almost 2 years.
Almost 2 years. That's because Declan was early and Griffin was late. I had it timed out as best as I could. We are calling. So the last thing we do at the end of the show now, on Fridays, we do what we meant to get to. But now we do. Pretty late, pretty early wake up call. So we call people to wake them up, perhaps. But right now, Stephanie Menendez is often awake feeding one of her children, and we decided we'd maybe wake her up and let her know it's time to feed the baby.
Oh, you're awful.
We've called Annabelle Laval, and we've called Marcus LeShock. We've called Kristen McAllister, who starred in the series Love, and is actually going to be on. What's the 999?
Please leave your message
There she goes. We don't have okay. We're gonna leave a message for her, so we can wrap up the show right now with Stephanie and let her know.
And fill up her voicemail.
And fill up her whole voicemail. Let's see how much time we have. Are we into her voicemail yet? Oh, hey Stephanie, it's Patty Vasquez,
Scott Stannis,
Dan Katowski,
Greg Collins,
Esmeralda.
Hey, up in news. There's.
Hey guys,
it's Vic Vaughn.
I'm awake. Vic. I'm awake.
Oh, he's awake. He's like, I'm here. And we just wanted to call and check in with you, Stephanie. I know it's a little bit. I don't know. Is it early or is it late when you work a 9-to-5 kind of job? I don't know if it's early. Is it early or late, Scott?
This is early. I've never understood anyone who says it's 4 a.m. No, the sun is not up. It's not morning.
It's not.
Well, then this is late. This isn't early.
This is a late call. Very okay. Pretty late.
Pretty late.
It's not very late. It's just pretty late. Late. I'll bet Vic Vaughn thinks this is pretty early.
I'm still getting used to this shift, guys.
Vic Vaughn's our newsman now. He comes in at 2 a.m. Top left corner on your screen.
Are you here till 5?
No, he's here till
8:30. Mm-hmm.
Good Lord, man.
I know. Man.
And for Esmeralda, is this early or late? This is the middle of your day.
Yeah, middle of the day. Afternoon.
Yeah, it's afternoon.
Pretty afternoon.
Esmeralda needs a little bit of a sugar kick to get her through. We've had a fun show tonight. We had some surprises. We had Elliot Serrano stop by with a friend of his who is Elliot, the master talent list DJ at Disney World. He's in town.
And the official Star Wars DJ.
Yeah. The official
Apparently
Star
Kathleen
Wars.
Kennedy called him that.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
And he's in town for C2E2. So Stephanie, who is going to C2E2 this weekend, she will be hearing the music of Master Talent List DJ Elliot with 1T. So
correct.
Yes.
Yep, that all happened.
That all happened.
I'm going to get an ice cream after the show.
Yeah.
That was really quick.
You're very grateful for that.
I'm so grateful.
I hung out with Esmeralda at Vaughn's Pub in Norwood Park.
You were grateful
Gladstone
for that.
Park. I'm not sure. Is it? What neighborhood would you say that? I think Jefferson Park, Gladstone Park, they're all kind of on top of each other.
I'll go with what you say.
Exactly.
Since that's your hood.
You guys were all really happy about having kids.
We were very happy
we're
about
very
having kids.
Happy.
And we're very happy for the work that Senator Dan Katowski is doing with
yeah.
ChildServe. You can go to GoFundMe.com and find ChildServe there. They are raising money for new flooring for a girl's home.
Mm-hmm.
And Scott Stantis has a cartoon coming out that's going to delight and outrage others.
And tick off your mother.
Take my mom, yes. My mom is going to come and find you because that's not a great picture of great cartoon. Of you did a very nice job of mine, and I'm so glad that I'm not Hillary Clinton.
Oh, what, the one on the napkin?
Yes, thank you very much for that. I thought that was very nice.